If I were to ask you the question this morning of who the worst sinner in the Bible was, how would you answer that? I don't want anybody to raise their hand. I don't have time to call on you and get your opinion, but I'm sure if I asked that question this morning and gave you the opportunity to answer it, that many of you would raise your hand and say, I know the answer to that. The worst sinner in the Bible is Judas Iscariot. The one who walked and lived with Jesus and was his disciple for 3 years and then was a Judas, betrayed him, sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. No doubt in my mind that's the worst sinner in the Bible. Others might raise their hand and say, oh no, well, Judas was a bad sinner and he's right up there, probably make the top three, but I think Cain is the worst sinner in the Bible. I mean, there just killed his brother over jealousy. Killed his own brother. Took his own brother's life. Cain's got to be the worst sinner in the Bible. Now, and I think Cain may make the top three as well if you were going to pick three. There's other choices that may come to your mind. Maybe Achan, that one that stole the gold and the garment from Jericho when God said everything in that city was his, and as a result, the people of Israel lost the next battle at Ai. And you could probably name others that didn't even come to my mind as I considered the question. This morning, I want to speak on the subject, how the worst sinner in the Bible got saved. How the worst sinner in the Bible got saved. Because, you see, I don't think there's anybody here this morning that's as bad as the worst sinner in the Bible. And if God can save the worst sinner in the Bible, he can certainly save you. And so I want you to listen this morning. Our text verse, Adam read it a moment ago, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Listen to the next phrase, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul, who was known as Saul before he got saved, says, you want to know who the baddest of the bad is? You want to know who would be at the front of the line if you lined up all the sinners back to back with the worst one being in the front? You want to know who's got the biggest S in front of the as a sinner in front of their name? He says, it's me. I am the chief. Now you can go back and you can read about Paul's life in the book of Acts. He was the one that, in the name of religion, persecuted Christians. He was the one that would go in the middle of the night and roust them out of their sleep and arrest them, take them to prison, throw them in prison, or do worse than that, take them out and stone them like he did one of the early deacons named Stephen. And Paul says, I'm the chief sinner, and I want to tell you how I got saved. That's why he started out that verse that he wrote to Timothy by saying, this is a faithful saying and worthy of your acceptation. What he was saying is, this is a faithful saying. What I'm going to tell you is true. It's an absolute truth. There's no mistruth in it. There's no part of a lie in it. What I'm going to tell you is absolutely, positively true. There's no doubt about it. It's a faithful saying. And then he says, it is worthy. In other words, it deserves your attention. And he goes beyond that. He says, it deserves more than your attention. It deserves you to accept it. In other words, what I'm about to tell you, how the worst sinner in the Bible got saved, you can not only mark it down and know that it is absolutely true, but it deserves you giving it fair hearing and responding to it as you should. Paul said, let me tell you how I got saved. The worst sinner in the Bible, let me tell you how I got saved. And he made it very simple. He said this, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I have 3 points this morning. And I don't worry, I know what time it is. And I probably won't be able to last much longer than I got anyway. So I want you to listen very carefully this morning. Number one, Christ Jesus. You see, for some of the things that God needed to do, he used an angel. When he wanted to send warning to Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah that he was going to destroy those cities, he sent angels. When he needed the message carried to Samson's mother that she was going to have a little baby and that God was going to use him and that she was not to drink or eat anything connected with grapes, that he was going to be selected from the womb. When he needed that message to deliver to Samson's mother, he used an angel. An angel carried a message to Daniel about what was going to happen in the end times. When the message came to Mary that she was going to bear a son and that son was going to be the Messiah, God used an angel. When Joseph needed to be reassured that his fiance was still pure and hadn't betrayed him and that he should go ahead and marry her, God sent an angel to carry that message to Joseph. When the birth of the Savior needed to be announced to a group of shepherds, when God wanted that message shared with that group of shepherds, God sent an angel and then a group of angels to sing his glory. But angels couldn't do the job that God needed to do in the case that I'm talking about because angels cannot save. When God had other things that he needed to do that he decided he couldn't use angels for, he used men. He used men. When he needed somebody to build an ark to save the righteous of the world from the flood, he chose a man by the name of Noah. When he needed somebody to lead his people out of Egypt to the promised land, he chose a man named Moses. When God had a giant that he needed killed, He chose a man named David. When he had a temple to build, he chose David's son, Solomon. When he wanted a message delivered to his people, a message of judgment and a message of grace, he used the prophets whose names are attached to books in the Bible, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Hosea, and on down the line. But for this job, God couldn't use a man because a man can't save anybody. For other things that God had to do, when an angel wouldn't do it or couldn't do it, or God chose not to use an angel, when a man couldn't do it, God decided to use nature. When he wanted Elijah fed, God used a raven. When God wanted to get Balaam's attention, he used a talking ass. When he wanted to get Jonah's attention and everybody in the boat's attention where Jonah was, he used a storm. When he wanted the disciples' faith tested, he also used a storm. And God used nature in a lot of different ways. When he wanted to get the wise man's attention, he used a star. But God couldn't use nature in this case because nature can't save anybody. This job required something more than angels could do. It required something more than men could do. It required something more than any part of nature could do. This job required somebody to come and live among men, to walk among men, to live as a man, and face every trial and every test and every temptation and every heartache and every hardship that man faces, yet without sin. Yet, I got watered down. I'm okay. I got it. I got some right up here. Thank you. Face everything that we face, yet without sin. Because in order to pay for sin, that person had to be sinless. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And if somebody's going to pay for our sin for us, then he has to be sinless. And so God couldn't send an angel. Angels sinned. I mean, Satan was an angel before he started, and he sinned and got kicked out of heaven. Men sin. Nature has no sin. It can't sin or not sin. It's controlled by God. And so God needed somebody that could come, that would have the opportunity to sin, but would choose not to sin, who could pay our price for sin before God as a sinless sacrifice. And so God said, I can't use an angel. I can't use a man. I can't use nature. I'm going to use my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 9, it's where you read about the conversion of Saul, who we know as the Apostle Paul. And in that chapter, there's a verse that says this. Let me read it for you. And let me just tell you the story real quick. Paul's on his way to Damascus to persecute Christians, and he sees a great light. He falls down before that light, and he hears a voice. Here's what the voice from heaven says: Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. You see, when Paul was given his testimony, he said, I'll tell you how the worst sinner in the Bible got saved. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. You see, this morning, this church can't save you. There's been many times down through the years where I wish I could have changed things and said, boy, I wish we could get saved for people. I wish I could make the decision for them. I wish I could just say, hey, you need to be saved. You ain't going to decide to get saved. I'm going to decide for you. But I can't do that. This church can't do that. No other person can do that for you. It doesn't matter what kind of family heritage you have. Doesn't matter how good you are. The Bible says that we're all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says the only hope that we have to take care of our sins is Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says this: Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world. You see, we couldn't get to where he was. We do not have the ability to go to heaven. We cannot reach his height. We can't even understand the things that he understands. We tried to build a tower, mankind did one time, to reach to heaven to get to God, and we failed. We try to reach him with our wisdom, and the Bible says that his thinking is so far above ours, like the heaven is from the earth. We don't think like God. And so what God had to do is to come down to where we are. He knew we couldn't get up to where he was. So he says, I've got to go down to where they are. And I've got to explain how much I love them in a way that they will understand. I can't do it using heavenly language because they don't understand that. I've got to go down and talk to them like a man. I've got to go down and talk to them like another person. And so that's why Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to the world to make the love of God known to each one of us. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't wait for us to get to where he was, because I'll be honest with you this morning, none of us would have made it. You see, I sort of feel like the Apostle Paul. If he's in the front of the line, I'm standing right beside him. You say, hey, you're a preacher. You're supposed to be good. Yeah, I do my best. But I'll remind you of that verse in the Bible that says, all our righteousnesses, all our goodnesses that we have that we can present to God in his sight are as filthy rags. And so I can offer up all my goodness and I can offer up all the right way that I try to live, but in God's sight it says, no, no, that won't do. Because you see, God doesn't compare us to other people. You've heard me say this before, and it's true. I can find somebody worse than I am. I can find somebody meaner. I can find somebody that is just worse than I am. I won't describe it because I'll describe myself too much. But I can find, I guarantee you, I can probably find somebody in this room this morning that's worse than I am. But Jesus said this, or God said this. He said, you're not comparing yourself to other people. That's not what matters. Who you need to compare yourself to is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that verse says and what it means when it says, for all have come short of the glory of God. The glory of God was expressed in his Son, Jesus Christ. And I fall way behind in him, to him, and so does every single person here. Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Let me tell you how I got saved. Jesus Christ came into the world, number three, to save sinners. I don't want to offend anybody this morning, but I want to be truthful with you. I preach from this place 17 and a half of the years that we've been a church. And I've never one time pulled any punches. And I won't this morning. We're all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death. It's just not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin separates us from the one that made us. Our sin separates us from the one we were made to fellowship with. Our sin separates us from God. And there's nothing that we can do to overcome that sin. You can't be good enough. You can't pay enough money. Baptism doesn't take care of it. Communion doesn't take care of it. Belonging to a church doesn't take care of it. There's nothing that we can do to take care of that sin. In fact, we don't want to take care of it unless God comes and helps us to want to do it. The Bible says in our sin, we're dead. And the Bible says that unless the Holy Spirit of God woos us or draws us or attracts us to God, we won't come. When Paul was on the road to Damascus and got saved, he wasn't looking for God. He was looking for Christians to throw him in jail. And God shined that light upon him to get his attention and say, Saul, 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 you're a sinner headed toward hell. And I came into the world to save sinners. And Saul, I want to save you. Now God has that same light shined on you this morning if you're here and you're not saved. Well, it's not a bright light from heaven like he saw. It's just a squeaky voice of a preacher who believes this book and the voice of a church who believes this book who are telling you this morning, you're a sinner. And the wages of that sin is death. And God sent his only begotten Son into the world to die in your place. And if you'll if you'll take him, he'll save you. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're here for a purpose. Say, oh no, I just came because somebody invited me. Oh no, no, that's what you think, but that's not what it means in God's plan. You are here by divine appointment. God wanted you here this morning. He wanted you to hear the gospel. And he wants me to tell you the same thing that Paul told Timothy. This is a true saying, and it deserves you to accept it. You're a sinner. Jesus died for you. And if you'll take him, he'll save you. He'll save you. That's as simple as I know how to make it. And it's not me making it that way. It's the Bible that makes it that simple. We're sinners. We deserve to be separated from God forever because of that sin. When Jesus went to the cross, he died for our sin. And if we'll take him, he'll save us. He'll save us. Now, if you're here this morning, I invite you to do that. My desire, what I prayed for all week, is that not one person that's here that doesn't know Christ will walk out those doors this morning without making the decision to receive him. Would you do that this morning? Would you do that? In just a moment, I'm going to have you bow your heads and I'm going to have a word of prayer. After that word of prayer, we're going to sing one more song. We call it an invitation. It's where I get on behalf of the church to invite you to come to this one that we've talked about this morning, Jesus Christ. I can tell you, I've never known one person that's come to him that he's turned away. Not one. Not one. Say, oh, you don't know what kind of person I am. You just don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He saved the worst sinner in the Bible. He can save you. And he will, if you'll let him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. Thank you for making it so easy that anybody that just wants to can understand it. From the littlest child to the oldest adult. If we want to, we can understand it. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching our lives and making us aware of our need for God. We know unless you did that, we wouldn't see the need. And so, Father, I pray that every single person here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior would listen to this faithful saying and would accept it for themselves. Help them to see that there's no other way that they can take care of their sin. There is no other way to get back to God except through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And Father, help them to see that this morning. And help them to decide. Help them to decide that they're going to trust Jesus to save them. Father, bless this time of invitation. Again, I pray for every single person that doesn't know Jesus, help this be their moment of decision. Help them to decide right now, right where they are, and say those simple words that you taught us to say. I'm a sinner, I deserve hell. But Jesus, I believe that when you died on Calvary, you died for me. And right now, I take you. I take you. Don't understand why you did it for me, but I take you. And I want you to save me. And then, Father, in just a moment when we give the invitation, would you help them walk the aisle, confessing the one who they've just put their belief in. Again, bless the invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.